Do you ever feel that life gets on top of you and that you get to a state where you really, really struggle to cope with life? You find everything too overwhelming. Well, today we're going to talk about stress, and very specifically we're going to talk about polyvagal theory, which has got some interesting insights to offer in relation to stress. So stay tuned, and if you want to find out more about how to manage stress, particularly in the context of relationships, head over to the Relationship Mace.
Welcome to this week's podcast. And as Angela talked about, we're going to be talking about stress and particularly also polyvagal theory. Just to start with, I'm Tom Mackay.
And I'm Angela Dukes.
So stress, well, let's start by talking about what is stress. And if you look at a dictionary definition of stress, stress is really a sort of pressure or tension that's applied to an object. And in life, we experience that in many different ways. So not so much physical stress necessarily, although some people do experience that as well, but more sort of emotional and psychological stress.
So stress very often gets defined through the symptoms, so to speak, through experience that you have. So, you know, experiences that you have on a physiological level. So stress often causes chronic headaches, stomach problems, for example. Or this sort of another symptom might be that you might feel very flat, you can't have joyous experiences in life anymore, or you feel very angry, for example. Yeah, so this is often how stress gets experienced.
Yeah, and just to be really clear about that, those are the symptoms of the body's response to stress. So it's not the stress itself causes those, it's our response to it. Yeah. And in fact, there's different types of stress, because we have positive stress and negative stress. So stress is often bandied around as being like a bad thing, but it's not necessarily, because without some sort of stress, we probably wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. It's like, you know, just for a moment, think, like, why did you get out of bed this morning? Why did you get out of bed this morning, Angela?
Because I had to, maybe. I wanted to, but largely because I had to.
Yeah, and I think actually those two words define it. So I had to, or I wanted to.
Yeah.
So both of those define some sort of stress or movement, pressure or movement.
Yeah.
So if you have to, it's like, well, I have to get out, I have to go to work. So there's like some sort of pressure to do that. Mm. If you want to, again, it's more of a moving forwards momentum. But again, there's some sort of movement, almost that sort of pressure or tension that's applied, but in a positive way.
Mm.
So we can talk about stress as being eustress, which is EU stress, which basically is positive stress, which is that thing that motivates us. Or we can talk about stress as being negative stress, which is sometimes called distress, which is where the body's put under a negative pressure.
Mm.
And in fact, it's shown through a lot of studies that we need a certain amount of stress to actually function optimally.
Mm.
But the problem is that if that level of stress is too high, or it goes on for too long a time, then it has a negative impact. So there's two different factors.
Mm.
We need a certain amount of stress in our lives. We need a certain amount of pressure, which can come from internally. So like Angela was saying, you know, you might get out of bed because you want to. So that's like internally kind of framing what we want to do.
Yeah.
Or more with a have to get out of bed, whereas it's like there's an external thing that's making us doing it, like having to pay the bills, having to go to work. Which essentially, you know, there's those two different levels with that.
Yeah. Good, yeah. And I think one useful model that we wanted to talk about a little bit today is polyvagal theory, which has been around for some time now. There's still a discussion to what extent some of the findings of polyvagal theory are backed up by research. And there seems to be indications that, you know, there's evidence for this. But as a theory, I think it's quite interesting. And elements of it you're probably quite familiar with. So what is it? So it was developed by Stephen Porges a while ago. I think, I can't remember actually, sort of early 2000s, I think. And poly means many. Vagal refers to the vagus nerve, which is a very long nerve that basically connects our brainstem to our stomach. So it creates this connection between brain and stomach. And what Porges talks about is that in the past, we've always had this definition of stress as either being we're stressed, we're on, basically, we are stressed, or we're not stressed, we're off, so to speak. So it's an on and off switch that we refer to. Now, Porges introduced another element to the whole discussion about on or off, so to speak, stress or no stress. So he distinguishes between different states that were that we can be in on a physiological level that also then have an impact on our mental state, our emotional state. And he says that there are sort of multiple stress activation systems that we can have. The first one, when we are in a good state, in a good sort of nervous state, if our autonomic nervous system is in a good state, is what he calls the ventral vagus, the ventral vagal social activation. That's when we can be very connected with other people, we can be open to other people, we're able to engage with other people, we've got capacity to feel empathic, for example, we feel present, we feel connected, and we're feeling safe, ultimately, in our connection with other people. We're feeling safe in the world. And because we're feeling safe, we have capacity to engage with others. Now, if we're taking one step further down the polyvagal ladder, another system, another nervous state that we can be in is when we are in sympathetic activation. That is when we are perceiving threats. And that's very often when we talk about stress. Often we refer to stress because our sympathetic nervous system is activated and we are preparing, our body is preparing for fight or flight. So we're mobilizing in either direction. Either we're going to fight back or we're going to run very quickly. And you will know when you're in this state because you notice that you start sweating more, your heart starts racing, adrenaline is pumping around your body. So you might have quite a flushed face as well. You might feel a bit more anxious. So you're in this kind of hyperactive state where you need to do something. Yeah. So you need to either run or fight, basically. And this can, of course, this kind of system in evolutionary terms, this was the system that kind of enabled us to run when we saw a tiger somewhere in the desert. It was meant to be, it's a system that kind of mobilizes our body for very quick action. And often when we are in a chronic, you can imagine that if you're in a chronic state of stress, this is really quite unhealthy for your body because your body is only meant to kind of prepare for action very briefly to get you out of danger. Now, okay, so I've talked about the sympathetic nervous system. Now, if we take another step down the ladder of activation, this is what Porges refers to as the dorsal vagal shutdown. So if you realize that, oh, I can't do anything here, I can't really run, I can't run fast enough away from this situation, or I can't fight back, another way of responding to danger is to just play dead, to just shut down completely. Often it's described as the freeze response. That's when everything kind of gets driven down, your whole system gets driven down, and you get into a state of collapse, so to speak. Your body kind of goes into a shutdown. And this is the sort of state very often when depression is a form of this kind of state. So if you experience this over a long period of time, if you go into this kind of shutdown, you might have feelings of hopelessness, you might feel very ashamed a lot of the time. You have this sense of being quite stuck. Yeah. If you are in this state, what needs to happen is that you need to start to mobilize again. Mobilize, get out of it, get a little bit more activated, get even into this sympathetic nervous system, first of all, where you get a little bit more hyper before you can then also move up the ladder again and create a state of safety and connection. So as I said before, if we are stressed very frequently, can be experienced either in terms of sympathetic nervous system activation, where you're in this hyper state of frenzy, of blood rushing through your system, etc. So obviously this very often happens in our modern life because we've got a lot of stresses in our life. I mean, we're not just running away from a tiger. We're also running away from all sorts of other demands that are being made of us. We might have a critical boss, for example, at work. You might have ridiculous deadlines. You might have children at home at the same time who want attention. So our modern life actually offers a lot of stresses that activate our sympathetic nervous system. And in the long run, this is creating a lot of physiological problems. So You can develop chronic pain, you can have constant stomach problems, because again, the body is pumping, you know, pumping blood around. You can have hyperactivity. So, I mean, all sorts of physiological presentations that we have with stress. And often, also what's interesting is that people can be in sort of two states at the same time. So there can be an element of, you know, trying to activate parts of the system that connects us with other people. And often we see people who seem to be quite calm on the surface, but underneath it, they're kind of pedaling away and they're constantly, you know, in this state of anxiety and distress. And so people can present as very calm, or they can often present as very angry as well. So, you know, something needs to have an outlet. One way of mobilizing into this, you know, sympathetic nervous system is to kind of show a lot of anger. So what we want ultimately is to kind of move people up the ladder from, if they have completely collapsed in their stress, and that can happen. Often this is called burnout, for example. That's one term that's being used to describe this. We need to kind of mobilize them into a sort of slightly more hyperactive state, and then ultimately move away from that as well and help to regulate to the extent that people can feel connected again, have social connections with others. So it's a long explanation of polyvagal theory, but I think it's quite interesting to kind of to conceptualize stress in terms of physiology.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, it's Joel from Momentous Experience here. How you going? If you listen to people that I catch up with here and around the world talking about their mental health, the challenges they face, and how they've managed it, it's all about spreading awareness and promoting a peaceful and balanced life. So join me again, Momentous Experience, on Spotify, Apple, and Google.
Yeah, and as Angela said, you know, it's an evolutionary response in response to danger. Mm. But centuries ago or thousands of years ago, running from a tiger or fighting a tiger might be appropriate. But one of the problems is that the threats that we face today, they're not physical threats, but our body responds to them as if they're physical threats. Yeah. So this is one of the challenges, is that basically we're responding to things in a way that isn't really appropriate. No. So it's about kind of learning new ways to respond to the situations that we have in life. And because, Angela was saying, you know, if we have stress over too long a time, even if it's not too high level, but if it's prolonged, that can cause problems. Or if we have too much stress over a short space of time, that can cause similar problems.
As well. And it's recognizing that you are under this constant, that you might be in a constant state of having your sympathetic nervous system activated, and you might not even be aware of it. You might just notice that there is a discomfort, that you have tummy problems, for example, back problems, headaches a lot of the time. So it's kind of realizing, first of all, what are the symptoms here? What are the signs that are telling me that I am in this particular state?
Yeah, and I remember years and years ago, I was doing some work with somebody who basically worked in the city, was very successful, I think working in the stock market, and really seemed to love the job. Day after day would work 12 hours or kind of longer, and really horrendous hours, like 7 days a week. One day, just suddenly woke up and thought, I can't do it anymore, and got on the first flight to another country for 6 months and just couldn't face it. So sometimes we don't even experience stress as negative. And like I said, there is positive stress. Some is good. So it's not that all stress is bad. So I think it's easy. Again, we don't want to make the distinction that it's kind of digital, but it's this or that. So some stress can be useful, we need it. But it's when, you know, even if there's too much positive stress, even stress that feels kind of like it's motivating, like feels like it's really kind of all the time we've got this adrenaline rush which we feel positive, over time that can also lead to what some people call burnouts, although burnout's not a technical
it's not a medical definition. Yeah.
But it's when you just feel like I've just had enough, you can't concentrate, you feel tired. So you know, these sorts of things. So the question is, again, you know, how do you know when you're having too much stress? I think one of the problems as well, and this is very similar with tension, is that tension happens unconsciously. Mm. And so does stress to a large extent. Mm. But relaxation is a conscious process. So during the day, at the end of the day, you may get to the end of the day and suddenly you find, oh, my shoulders feel tense, my neck feels stiff, my back feels uncomfortable. Mm. And during the day, that may be because we've been going through quite a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. It could be sort of emotional, mental, or even physical kind of pressure. Mm. And it's only at the end of the day we suddenly notice, actually, I feel really worn out. Because we're not thinking about that at the time. We're too involved in what we're doing.
Yeah.
But it's at that time we start to notice it. And to get rid of that, to do something about it, we have to take some sort of action. So, and to take action, we have to engage the conscious parts of our mind. We have to start to think, what can I do?
Yeah.
Whether that's relaxation techniques, whether it's kind of taking some physical exercise or different processes, we have to take action on it consciously. And when we start to notice over time, when we're aware of the stress response, what's really useful is to become more aware of those stresses as we go through the day. So we notice those things that make us more stressed. We start to notice as tension develops in the body, as stress develops, so that it doesn't build up to a level where it becomes too late, but we actually begin to notice it at the time. So something that I think is really important is awareness.
Mm.
So we need to bring awareness into our body, into our minds, that as we go through the day, it's taking that internal sort of or internal check, kind of scanning ourselves and thinking, okay, how is my body feeling? How are my emotions? How is my mind? And just notice, you know, what is going on in there?
Yeah, and I think it's particularly important also within, not particularly, but also very important within the context of relationships. Because remember, when you are in a state of, when your sympathetic nervous system is activated or when you are going into a complete state of shutdown, what happens is that you haven't got any capacity to relate to other people. You have no capacity to take on their stress. You have no capacity to really engage with them, to listen to them, to have any empathy, etc. So that's why it's so important that ultimately, if you're not paying attention to stress and chronic stress, you're also affecting your relationship with others. And in the long run, of course, it's going to create all sorts of problems, because if you can't relate, if you can't be present for your partner, if you can't have any empathy because you're in an unsafe zone which takes up all of your energy, then of course this is going to create difficulties in your relationship in the long run. So absolutely, as Tom said, the first step is to kind of have some awareness, to notice what's going on, what am I experiencing here. And then the second step, of course, is to take some action in terms of thinking about ways that soothes your system, because what you want to do is you want to bring your nervous system into a parasympathetic response, which is where you calm your system down. It's kind of where you're telling your body and your mind that there is no danger anymore, that you can feel safe, you can feel calm, you can feel okay in the world. And there are no sort of easy recipes here. There are all sorts of exercises that people suggest that you can do. And my sense is, I mean, from my experience working with clients, is that not every exercise works for everyone. So some people really take to breathing exercises to calm the system. Certainly really helps, because if you're telling your body that things are okay, if you can breathe calmly. But some people really struggle with that and find it quite difficult to get into that. So it might be also that you do a visualization, that you think yourself feeling safe, so to speak, so that you imagine being in a safe space. That's something that other people find really helpful. I mean, what's your experience, Tom? So what would you suggest normally?
I find a lot of time as well, if you're really stressed and we've got all this adrenaline flowing through our system, it can be really difficult to sit down and slow your breathing down and visualize something. And sometimes what helps as a bridge to that is to do some physical exercise, like go for a run, do some exercise you enjoy, but do something that gets your heart flowing enough so you can start to get some of these hormones and everything flowing through the system. You start to get your system kind of working better. And then you can have space where you can relax, you can slow your breathing down, and maybe do a visualization. Mm. And I think they're both important because,
yeah.
you know, to help relax. I think when we do exercise, some people exercise for relaxation.
Mm.
But actually, when you're exercising, you are getting your system flowing. It's not really relaxed. And I think we need the balance. We need that energy, but we also need to balance through kind of relaxing, through slowing up, breathing down and doing something that's slower. So I think being able to do both is really useful. Yeah. But ultimately as well, it's a lot of these things are short term. You know, if you're using physical, in my perspective, if I'm just using physical ways to deal with the stress response, it's dealing with a symptom.
Yeah,
we need to find a longer term way of dealing with it.
Well, we need to have the cause, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, very often stress responses. So if you have had very adverse experiences in life, very frequently, for example, if you've had traumatic experiences in life, you're more susceptible to triggers, so to speak, that get you into a state of unsafety, a feeling of unsafety. So you're more likely to respond to situations in a way that tell you that they're dangerous to you, and your system gets activated. So absolutely. So it's really always really relevant. It's not just about the how, it's also the why. Why am I feeling so stressed? What are the underlying causes of all of this stress? Are there different ways of thinking about this? You know, why am I feeling like this? What's the kind of trigger? What is the trigger for me to certain situations where I start to feel quite anxious, for example? So it's the why, it's the how, yeah. It's kind of it's what do I need to do with it? But it's kind of having some sense of what's going on here. Why am I responding in this way? And then, of course, it's also the what can I do here? Yeah. So if you feel triggered, if you notice you get very anxious in this situation, are there also some cognitive responses that might be helpful in this situation?
Yeah.
Not just physiological ones. Do you want to talk about the cognitions?
Well, so in terms of cognitive responses, like, and again, these are learned from, the past. We learn ways to respond. Like if somebody says something to us, we might think they're being hostile. So we respond in a way that makes us angry to maybe defend ourselves, or makes us kind of go into this kind of very, very kind of freeze state where we don't respond.
Yeah.
So, and these are learned. So, just because someone looks at us in a certain way or says something in a certain way, that in itself doesn't have meaning except for the meaning that we give to it.
Yeah.
And really, one thing is really everything that happens around us or every situation, every context in itself doesn't actually have meaning inherently in it. It's the meaning that we take from it. And it's just beginning to step back and think, actually, this is my interpretation. This may not really mean this. And if I'm responding to something which is causing me to feel stressed, thinking about, is there another way of seeing this? How, you could think, well, how would somebody else respond to this? Like if you know somebody who handles a similar situation in a better way, how do they respond? What do they say to themselves? What do they think?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So coming back to the polyvagal theory, what it also describes is that when we are in this state of distress, if we're not feeling very safe in the world, we ascribe particular meanings to other people and to interactions with other people. So we might even, on a physiological level, we might not be able to tell whether somebody is friend or foe. We might have interpretations that tell us that the other person is not friendly, doesn't have the best intentions for us. Or we might even see a face as being looking a bit angry from our perspective. But that's because we are in a state of where we can't feel safe. So I think what's really important also to take away from this discussion is that we need to start on a physiological level. So in order, when we're not feeling safe, we need to do something that kind of that tells our body that we're okay, that we can feel safe again, that we can have some sense of stability in our life again and safety. And then when our body feels reassured, so through breathing, for example, then the mind can follow. Then we can do the cognitive part, so to speak. Then we can do some thinking, some reflecting, we can reconceptualize how we approach the world and other people in it. But I think what it tells us, what this whole theory tells us, is let's start with the body first. Again, also with breathing, that's why, breathing is always emphasized in lots of the therapeutic work. because your body can't be, we can't be stressed and not stressed at the same time, one or the other. And if we manage to regulate our body through our breathing effectively, then if we're telling our body that we are calm and soothed, then the mind can follow. But yeah, but it's getting to that state. That's not always so easy. So as you say, there can be bridges that can take us into on the way to more safety in our bodies and then ultimately in our minds.
Yeah, and ultimately as well, we can learn to respond differently. So it's not that you have to respond in this way, because there are people who don't respond in the way that some of us might to these really stressful situations. They don't respond in this way where we start to see people as being kind of having bad intentions because they're under stress.
Yeah.
Some people respond differently. Mm. A lot of these things, I believe, we learn.
Mm.
And, you know, once we start to control, start to kind of get the parasympathetic nervous system in play,
mm.
we can then start to kind of look at different ways of seeing things. We're more open to those possibilities.
Mm.
And I think, you know, as well, beginning to accept that actually stress is not necessarily a bad thing. It's about how we manage it, how we deal with it. And that sort of, this sort of acceptance can be quite powerful.
Yeah, it's managing to regulate it, isn't it? It's having the, because I think the issue is around regulation, is that we don't do this consciously when we're getting stressed, when we're going into a state of fight, fright or freeze. We're just responding.
Yeah.
Without our cognitions, basically. So it's kind of bringing the head in, learning to bring the head in. So if we can regulate our bodies, then we can also do some thinking around it, which will help us even more to manage the situation better.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we've spoken for quite a bit today.
Yes.
So let's. I think we'll finish off today's podcast. And is there anything you want to add?
No, there isn't really. So just wishing you a very stressful, a very stressless week ahead. That's what I was trying to say. So not too much stress. A little bit of you stress, but not too much. So stressless week ahead, and looking forward to seeing you next week.
Yeah, and please head over to therelationshipmaze.com, where we have lots of information about how you can improve your relationships.
Take good care. See you next week.
Bye
for now.